This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle, president of Caritas Internationalis, has been visiting Syrian refugees and migrant workers in Lebanon and urged the international community and political leaders to set aside greed and self-interest in order to solve Syria's conflict for the sake of its suffering people. Lebanon hosts over 1 million Syrian refugees, putting an enormous strain on a country of barely 4 million people. The European Union, by comparison, with more than 500 million people, regards the arrival last year of 1 million migrants and refugees as a major crisis. Cardinal Tagle spoke to me earlier about what he saw and heard during his trip to Lebanon.
For me, it's upsetting in the sense that you don't only see the actual suffering in front of you, like families who have left their beloved country and now are faced with uncertainty. They have their dreams, like the children they want to study. But in one camp, only 4 children are going to school right now because the parents could not afford the fees and even the other expenses that are needed for children to go to school, like transportation and food. And then we made a visit to a clinic that caters for everyone, but most especially for migrants, refugees from Syria, from Iraq. And they tell you stories of being separated from their loved ones. So you see a lot of that suffering, and it upsets you. It upsets you because you know this is not what life, human life, should be. And then it upsets you all the more because some of these people probably don't even understand why are there conflicts, and they are the ones who are, in a way, bearing the consequences of the conflicts created by people, by others, especially those who are in power.
Do you get the impression that the difficult conditions that you've been describing for Syrian refugees in Lebanon are getting worse? I know that already most of them live under the poverty line, don't they?
Yes, it's getting worse because some of them have been in those camps for over a year now. And the situation has not changed. And they live day to day not knowing how life would go on. And some of them are still wondering whether their wives who had been left behind are still alive or their sons. I could just imagine the pain, the horror of living every day, waking up to that with that thought, is my wife still alive? Would I be able to see my son again? And then not knowing whether there is any prospect ahead of them for a better life. There was a girl, 27 years old. She said, I want to go to university. I want to study. And she said, I want to go to Europe, to one of the universities there in Europe. But then when we asked her, how do you plan on fulfilling that dream? Then there was just a blank stare.
Talking of Europe, Lebanon hosts a huge number of Syrian refugees. They amount to nearly 1 in 4 of the country's population. Yet at the same time, in the EU, we've got a population of 500 million people. And they're seeing the arrival of around 1 million refugees and migrants as a major crisis. What are your thoughts when you look at this situation?
I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental towards some of the European countries. I know they have their reasons for adopting some policies. But if they turn to a small country like Lebanon, suffering, but at the same time trying its best to embrace these neighbors of theirs, then I think they would have at least some second thoughts.
You also met migrant workers, including some from your native Philippines, who've been abused by their employers in Lebanon. How common and how serious a problem is this?
Seems to be rather serious. The migrant workers that we met in one some sort of safe house, they call it a safe house so that they know that they would be safe there. But according to the persons in charge of the house, there are probably more cases than are reported to them, because some of the abused and maltreated migrant workers don't have the courage to come out in the open and report the situations. I saw more than 30 women in that safe house. But even if they're just 5, 4, 2, the number does not really count. One girl told me that she had not received her monthly salary for more than a year. And when she asked for it, because she needed to send money to her family in her home country, her employer just opened the door and said, "You're fired. You may leave my house." And how many cases, not just here in Lebanon, but in other parts of the world, are not reported? And so we again salute these social workers, these labor leaders, who welcome this broken-hearted, and some of them are even physically, they still bear the physical marks of maltreatment. So they provide not only a safe place for them to stay, but more importantly, they are given emotional, spiritual first aid, as it were.
After what you've been seeing and hearing during this visit to Lebanon, especially concerning the plight of the Syrian refugees, what's your message for the international community?
My message is this, and I'm doing this not just as an individual person. I'm doing this bearing not only the many men and women serving in the church, serving through Caritas and other charitable institutions, but especially in the name of the lost, the confused, refugees, the migrants, especially from Syria and Iraq. We are asking everyone, especially the leaders of countries and of international organizations, let us sincerely and urgently settle this issue of conflict, battles, and wars. Let us go to the roots of all this. And with humility and with human consciences, let us set aside greed and self-interest for the sake of the suffering. We make this appeal especially in the name of the children and the future, not only of families, but of the home countries. What will the future of Syria be when these children, the teenagers and the young professionals leaving the country, what would happen to that country? So let us work for peace and let us, with all honesty, address the roots of all the conflicts.